This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, the panic is starting to set in as far as the New York Knicks go. I'm not there, BT. I know you had concerns going into the season before they played a game. And now, you know, at 3-4, oh, he's not there? Okay, BT's not there. BT's got to work from home today, so we'll take it over until he is there. I'm not having concerns. BT was concerned about the Knicks coming into the season and the new mix, and I understand that when you talk about the chemistry issues with new players, not just star player in Karl Anthony Towns, which was a big trade, but also Bridges coming in as well. It's going to take time for this team to gel. And at 3-4, seven games in, you know, the Knicks coming off a difficult road trip. Now we're 2-1. The way I would label it is they were very annoying losses with Houston and in Atlanta last night. Annoying losses. But let's take a deep breath here. Watch this team and watch the talent. With the amount of ease that Karl Anthony Towns can score the basketball with, like, that's something we haven't seen from a Knicks big man in quite some time. And you know that eventually it is going to gel with Brunson. You can see some of the frustration on Brunson's face. But with Hart, with Brunson, with Bridges, Anunoby, and Towns, you have a very talented starting five. I'm not going nuts about it, BT, even with the results not being, you know, ideal. Look, both ends of the floor, they have a lot of work to do, a long way to go, but ultimately, I still do believe in the talent of this team and think they're going to be just fine.
I want to stress something here, Sal, and I want to ask a question, then I want to make a few points. What made last year's team special? I'll answer my own question. To me, it's three. It's three things. Number one, Brunson emerged as a superstar. Number two, impeccable chemistry. Number three, great depth. Now, I know that the Knicks have a few guys who were banged up who were going to make their return eventually. I don't love the players they have coming back, so I don't think the depth equates to what they had a year ago. And I think that when you look at the chemistry, and I want to be clear, like, this is not the Knicks' fault. The way in terms of Isaiah Hartenstein, but that's a big piece of the puzzle. I think a lot of people, Hartenstein, what does he really do? Or you can really replace him. No, watching the Knicks a year ago, and obviously DiVincenzo, Hartenstein's ability to, you know, obviously pass and rebound and the toughness and the IQ, it was a perfect fit for the Knicks. And I know it's early, and I know if you go back to first year in Miami with LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh, Spoelstra's year, his first year, they were 9-8 after 17. However, the thing about this team, I look at them and it's glaring. I don't see an attitude and I don't see an identity, Sal.
Yeah, but it's seven games in, BT. I get it. And think about this. And I know you like Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, and I did too. And Knicks fans love those guys. That team last year was special for all the reasons that you said. Not going to disagree. They were deep. They had chemistry. They worked hard. All that stuff. It's seven games in. And also, there was a ceiling that team reached. Now, could they have beaten the Pacers if healthy? Sure. They were not beating the Celtics. Whereas, and look, this team might not beat the Celtics anyway because the Celtics are so damn good, but this team has the talent to go very far in the landscape of the NBA postseason, whether it's through the Celtics, to the finals, win the NBA championship, where I never thought last year was a legitimate championship team. I see frustration. I could see, obviously, guys not, you know, playing hard at both ends of the floor, not knowing their roles necessarily. You're watching a team that's learning on the fly. But
I mean, they're 3-4. Not the end of the world. It's early on. It was a way, it's a road trip here in the NBA. Mm-hmm. These things can be tough. I still just ultimately believe in the talent once they figure it out. Not to mention the injuries. I mean, they do miss Achiuwa, and they do miss Mitchell Robinson as well.
Yeah, I mean, but for as much as they missed Achiuwa, half the Knicks fan base was saying that Achiuwa, they didn't really care if he came back. Now we're going to sit here and say that they miss Achiuwa?
Well, he fits on this team now because they, you know, with Karl Anthony Towns, he's a scorer. So now a guy like Achiuwa is going to be more valuable where he's bringing that defensive stuff. As opposed to if you have Hartenstein and Mitch both healthy or going the way that they were going last year for the majority of the year, you're fine with that defense. You don't need Achiuwa as much, but Achiuwa now would be more valuable, especially without Mitch.
Okay, think of it this way. I'm going to incorporate the Mets for a second here. So last year, we didn't really know what to expect for the Mets, although we thought we knew what to expect going in. Not a ton. Rebuild, let Stearns look at the roster. We've talked about this a million times. Now, they had a really fun season. They had a really good season. And now they're going to add to it this year. So right away, based on what they do this offseason, and they're going to try to do a lot, the expectations for the 2025 Mets is going to be through the roof, whether it's right or wrong or accurate or whatever. That's what's going to happen. Last year's Knicks team, they overachieved a little bit, and then they made the one power move. They've collected all these assets, everything that they've done. Leon Rose stocking the draft picks like a squirrel stocking the nuts for a cold day. He did it. And we're all sitting there saying, all right, when is he going to hit the button? When is he going to hit? Well, he hit the only real big button that remains. So just like the Mets are no longer, they're not going to be judged on what they were a year ago. My analysis and my expectations for these Knicks is to get to the conference championship and have a real chance to win a championship. Now, I know it's early. I do want to stress that. It's early. I get that. But it's not early. It's not too early, Sal, for me to look at some of the deficiencies on this team and wonder aloud, are they going to be good enough when it matters? And I got to be honest with you. Sitting here watching every game, which I have, I don't like what I'm seeing because the fire and the passion and the identity, which is what fueled them a year ago, is not there. It feels a little more corporate. It feels a little more like they almost, all right, hey, listen, we made this big move. Let's go to the opening tip and we're going to win because we made this big move and we're the Knicks. Doesn't work that way. Now, I'm not saying that they're not playing hard. I'm not saying that at all. That's not going to fly with Tom Thibodeau. It's not. And Brunson is a superstar, and he's learning how to gel with another star in Towns. For basketball reasons, I understand why they're a little slow out of the chute.
And that's a big deal, BT. As you know, the two stars, the egos, it was Brunson's team. Karl Anthony Towns, a big, prominent player, who's going to score a lot. Like, you could see that those two aren't on the same page just yet.
And I'm okay with that, because I know that from a basketball perspective, that's going to change. But again, early read, I got you, but these are now the Knicks, and they are supposed to eventually win a championship. So the process of evaluation is going to be more cutthroat. It just has to be, because that's what happens in this city when you're supposed to win. If the Rangers get knocked out in round one, or if we're sitting here 40, 50 games in and the Rangers are floundering, the Rangers are going to be pounded because the Rangers were a couple of wins away from getting to the Stanley Cup and maybe winning it. It all changes, Sal.
Understood. I think depth is a real issue right now. And again, health could start to solve that a little bit. And we'll see what other moves maybe the Knicks can make at the trade deadline, whatever. That's months down the road. But depth is a real issue for now. I wouldn't be concerned about the depth just seven games in, because that could be something that could be fixed. As opposed to, if you don't have enough talent, you're screwed because you don't have enough talent. So to me, when I look at their deficiencies right now, a lot of it can be improved rather quickly, like chemistry, the depth. I wouldn't be concerned about that at all. The deficiencies, to me, I mean, what? The lack of chemistry? Well, give me your other deficiency. Like, the talent is there for these guys. I think the toughness is also there. Maybe my biggest issue would be Bridges too many times just doesn't have his impact felt on the game. You're going to need a lot more than that. Last night in particular, you're watching the game, you're like, where the hell is Bridges at? Like, he just does nothing. Now, look, they have Brunson in town, so obviously those guys are going to be the focal points. But even defensively, with Ananobi maybe not rotating the right way at times, Bridges, same thing. Like, leaving too many Hawks open last night. Where do you think, though, their biggest deficiencies are that can't be fixed?
Their personality, their attitude, and their identity. I don't know what it is. I knew what it was a year ago, and I loved it. And I think that we all loved it. I think that the natural expectation was, all right, you make this massive move, and, it's kind of a seamless transition, which is unfair, to be fair, to the Knicks. But If I asked you last, and I want you to answer this too, Sal, last year, the Knicks, what was their identity?
Yeah, I mean, it was team chemistry, playing together, toughness heart, okay, all that stuff.
Toughness.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's definitely going to be the same this year? Because I don't.
I don't. Well, it's definitely not going to be the same as it was a year ago, but they're more talented. So it is the same old thing. Like, you used the Mets as an example before. Hey, the Mets, one of their great attributes this year was team chemistry. It may not be the same next year, but they're going to be more talented. And ultimately, you saw how far that chemistry and that, you know, camaraderie and all that fun can get you. You need talent, more talent at some point to get you over the hump. I think the Knicks were a good team last year. I don't think they even had the potential to be a great team, even if fully healthy, where this year, I do. So when you sacrifice a little bit in team chemistry, you're going to gain in talent. Karl Anthony Towns is one of the most talented players I've seen in the Knicks uniform in years.
There's
maybe
no doubt.
Ever.
I mean, no. He's incredibly talented. I don't have an issue with Karl. I mean, he played very well last night.
I love watching him play. And he, by the way, the notion of him being soft, like, I'm not seeing it. Oh, could he be better on the offensive rebounds? I mean, I guess, but good God. I mean, he's being physical down low as well. He's got a soft touch for a big man, as you know. But I think Karl Anthony Towns has been tough so far. I just think that Brunson and Towns need to figure out how to play together. That, to me, would be the biggest issue. But I think that's going to come in time.
Well, let me ask you this. So the Karl Anthony Towns package, you know, soft is a word I don't like. There's certain guys who are soft. He's not soft. I think he's certainly finesse. And, you know, he's got a little flex in him when he needs it. I don't think he's soft. I think he's immensely gifted. But he also played, what, 8 years, 9 years in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
And did absolutely nothing until Anthony Edwards burst on the scene. So, you know, I don't know that there's an immediate, you know, transfer of, because I don't think he's that player. Because if he was, he would have distinguished himself more in Minnesota.
No, Brunson still should be the guy.
Yeah, and I think that when it's, you know, when it's crunch time, depending upon, you know, how teams, what they do off the pick and roll, you know, if Karl Anthony Towns is left open and they go to Brunson, Brunson is selfless enough to give up the ball and let Karl Anthony Towns eat, which is not a bad thing.
Which he wasn't at times last night. I mean,
yeah.
And that's part of the chemistry, though, right? If Brunson, why is Brunson attacking the rim and double teams when Karl Anthony Towns is right behind him, wide open? Like that's something I think that those two will take time to gel together. When to be selfless, when to shoot the ball and be the aggressor. They have to figure that out.
But that's why I keep saying it's more of an identity thing. I think the basketball stuff works itself out.
Yeah.
Now, works itself out to what extent? I'm not sure. I'm not going to take the opening night beat down by the Celtics as anything more than the Celtics who basically hit 30,000 threes and it was an anomaly and that's not going to happen again the rest of the year. So that's fine. I didn't overreact to that. I don't like losing to teams you're supposed to stomp, but again, it's early, so I'm not going to go nuts. I think I'm looking down the road. And I'm extrapolating, you know, what they were a year ago, which I loved, what they lost, what they gained, and what's the recipe going to look like in a couple of months. Now, I very well might be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be the same, and that worries me, because the reason why, when I mean same, I mean from an identity perspective, not necessarily like win total or do they get to the conference finals. How they won last year was a unique, special recipe that you can't really win that way in baseball or even the NFL. But in the NBA, if you have unquestioned chemistry and you have, you know, five fingers turning into a fist, which they had every single night, you're going to steal games because other teams will be disinterested, and you're going to have a chance to outlast teams in May and June because you're either in better shape, you're more together, things that are less quantifiable than basketball stats. I'm going to give you us as well. Let me incorporate you and I for a moment. Think about, we talk about chemistry, right? So you and I were both excited when we found out we were going to work together. We also both knew that we're both very type A personalities, and we'd have to learn each other how to feed off each other, you know, learn your tone and you learn mine. And okay, I know he's just about to wrap up what he's saying, so I could jump in. And if you listen to the first week of our shows and now you compare it and contrast it to now, it's almost like we're almost like a married couple in the sense that, yeah, sometimes we get annoyed with each other in the sporting debate sense, but we know where the other guy's going, and there's a flow and there's a rhythm.
And
I
time. Do.
You know, I do think that they will get that flow and rhythm. What I'm worried about, I think the heart of the Knicks is different, and that worries me. And there's no guarantee that that's going to get better.
And the reason why I'm not going nuts is because I would take the talent over that and hope that those things come eventually. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is calling from Port Jeff Station. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. I got to say something. You know, the chemistry, BT, you're 100% right. Last year, the grit and the grind, you know, at the end of the season, though, you know, when the Knicks got into the playoffs, Brunson got hurt. The guys were still grinding. You don't have that right now. And, Sal, I got to tell you, I don't see that coming off the bench. They had that coming off the bench. You know, DiVincenzo's not there. Isaiah's not there. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of guys missing that are in.
They're more talented. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that, but they're more talented. Now, is talent going to win out, or is what we saw last year with the heart and chemistry going to win out? It's seven games in. I will take my chances with this talent versus what the roster had last year while it was enjoyable.
Well, I got to tell you, offense is great, but you got to understand something, too. Is the defense talent going to be there by the end of the season? Do you feel that that's going to happen, Sal? Because just in any sport, some things went out more than others. Do they have that defense for the end of the season to come through? What do you think about that?
Thanks for the call, John. We appreciate
you
checking in. I'd be curious to get your thoughts here, BT, on the defense. See, the defense, to me, that's where I'm most disappointed with this team, and that's something that should be on Tibbs and the solid defensive players that they have here. There's a reason why Anunoby is on this team. There's a reason why they went all in and acquired Bridges. Those guys are supposed to be premium defenders as a unit. Now, remember, no Mitch Hurts and no Achiuwa Hurts, so that's why I'm giving them a little pass right here and time to gel. But it's not like they don't have defensive principle or defensive players on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they went from a home run hitting team to a team that's going to look to scratch out 3-4 runs a game and steal a couple of bases. It's like they changed that drastically. I'll certainly give you that. Number one, I think if anybody's banking on Mitchell Robinson to come back this year, I think that very well might be a fruitless endeavor. I don't know when he comes back. I don't know what he looks like when he comes back. And I don't know how long he stays on the court when he comes back. The guy's hurt every single season. I mean, let's stop the Mitchell Robinson charade. I wish they would have traded him, actually. Now, I'm going to give you this. From a defensive perspective, I do think that this gets glossed over. Because when you talk about chemistry, Sal, it's generally in the sense of, all right, Brunson and Kat, the pick and roll. And all right, how do we get the ball to Bridges and OG in the corner so they could do their thing, which they're amazing at, quarter three, you know, three-point percentage. We generally look at offense. There is a chemistry that is generally less spoken about that is applicable to the defensive end. And I would think that that's going to be there because Mikal Bridges is an elite defender. So is OG. And they've got and I like Achiuwa as well when he gets back. But I don't know. I'm not prepared to make this massive presumption that just because the Knicks ended the season where they were a year ago and they imported a star, not a superstar, but a bona fide star in Towns, that they just take that next step forward. And I don't believe that right now. I don't feel that right now. They don't look the same. And until they start looking the same, I'm going to be bringing this up on the air. And Knicks fans could say, oh, you're overreacting. Oh, what are you doing? Last year's Knicks team was about as cohesive and tight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As any team that I've seen in any sport in this city, and I don't know how long, It was, I don't want to say it was without precedent, that's ridiculous, but you know when you have something special. And they messed with that special recipe. I understand why they messed with it, because Towns is better than Hartenstein, and, you know, obviously DiVincenzo had to be thrown in with Randle to actually get Towns. Understood. I'm not saying that it was the absolute wrong move, but I don't know for sure that it's the absolute right move. And anybody who thinks that it's going to magically get better, I'm not on that ship right now. I got to see it. And I don't see a team that resembles last year's team, and I love that team.
Scott is in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, well, BT, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm going to say, listen, I think you're overreacting. And I'm saying, like I said, the bottom line is just basically, like I said, it's going to mess. It's only 7 games. And the bottom line, yeah, I miss, you know, DiVincenzo and everybody thinks that like this magic thing, like you said, you know, and I do agree with you about the Mitchell Robinson. They should have got rid of him. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's only 7 games. We're going to get it together. Listen, and now the only thing I like about the trade, what really helps, that I feel good about, is that it takes a lot of pressure, you know, off the guys. Now you got another scorer.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to help.
Think? And yeah. Thank you for the call, Scott. Good stuff. You get back to us. Yeah, I mean, that's what I think we're all overlooking here. In the NBA, you need talent to win. Karl Anthony Towns is by far the most talented big man that they've had. Everybody, BT, I know you too, want to get caught up in DiVincenzo and Hardenstein. I get it. It's time to move on. The Knicks are better right now. Obviously, the team's not playing that way. It's 7 games. But they are far more talented with the addition of Towns and Bridges than they've ever been. They had to fight and claw and have that chemistry and gel just to be able to get to where they got. Now look, you want to see the hard work, and you certainly want to see them clean it up at both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be that hard with the amount of talent that they have on this roster.
Yeah, but I don't make a direct connection to talent to being better. I think that's where you and I disagree, or at least see this team differently right now. And again, I'm leaving the door open, certainly from a hopeful perspective, but also just from a rational understanding of how sports works. You know, sometimes it takes time, but just because you import more talent doesn't mean that you're going to be better. I mean, look, you look at some of these games a year ago, and I just popped up a random game. Round one, Knicks beat the Sixers down there. It was 118-115. And, I mean, Hartenstein had 14 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. DiVincenzo dropped 23. I mean, it's just a different team. And maybe I'm resisting, or maybe I'm just bothered by the fact that, you know, I wasn't, and you'll back me up on this, I wasn't all in on the Towns trade. I liked it. I semi-endorsed it. I certainly understood it. But I did so with a little bit of reluctance. Not with Randle, but with DiVincenzo. And, you know, I brought this up on the air the other day that, and again, I don't think that this happens, but I'm getting to the point where, I don't know, I might be more open to it than I was. And I know you don't like this. With the Bucks with Giannis, and there's a thought that maybe the Knicks traded for Karl Anthony Towns to reroute him to get Giannis, if and when the Bucks trade him. I'm open to everything. I know this. From what I've seen so far, if this group of Knicks, these Knicks, if they are in Philly, who knows what happens with Philly, but Boston or Indy or Miami, or let's even say Philly gets their act together. I know Embiid's coming back tonight. Like, if you look at and fast forward, and I say to myself, all right, can I see these Knicks winning a gritty, tough road game, game 5, game 6, game 7 on the road, you know, round 2? I don't feel it right now. Last year's group, they did.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More of your calls on the other side. We'll get to the free agent baseball stuff, of course, coming up in a little bit. We're talking Knicks to start, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday, 888-808-1019. Plenty to get into with Soto and free agency. Yeah. And Alonzo as well will do that, both the Mets and Yankees perspective. Of course, we've done that the last couple of days. We'll look ahead to the huge game on Sunday for the Jets. Obviously, Giants will get a start at 9:30 Sunday morning in Germany, but the Jets have a huge game, so we'll do that maybe more so tomorrow. Today, BT, a Knicks day. One thing that I want to say before we get back to the calls. You know, you're saying, well, losing games that they shouldn't be losing. I mean, they lost on the road to Atlanta. Okay, I mean, the Hawks are 4-5, whatever, not as good as the Knicks. That's a tough loss, annoying loss. Mm-hmm. That was a bad first half. They really set them, although even down the stretch weren't good. Losing on the road to Houston. Houston's pretty good. I mean, they're not awful. And again, on the road in the NBA. And then the other two losses were to the Celtics and the Cavs. Like, it's not like the Knicks are 1-6, like the crappy Sixers or Bucks. 3-4 with the new players in place with all these new pieces. I don't think that that's bad, 3-4.
Well, it's not good. And I'm not just going on the wins and the losses. I'm going on how they look. And They don't seem to have a lot of passion. They really don't. Listen, I'm okay with changing some players, and we've already discussed this when it happened. We discussed it last segment. But what worries me is that I changed their identity. And once you change your identity, you don't get it back. They're not going to look the same. Now, you want to tell me that that's going to be painful early and more fruitful down, you know, at the end of the season? All right. I'm all ears and I'm hopeful. I don't necessarily believe that. I don't.
One question I would have is, you can tell you're watching this team and they need to click. They need to gel. They all need to trust each other. I guess my question is, and I think it will happen at some point, and I would rather, just to your point now, I would rather have this talent and hope that it's going to click. But what's it going to take? Like, is this some kind of, road bonding trip? Is this some, hey, let's go bowling? Hey, remember I used to do that with the Knicks? What is it, just something in practice? Is it something in a game, a fight going to cause it? Like, what's going to make it click for this talented team of new players? Something is going to have to happen. I don't know if it's one of those extreme things. I don't know, but it's going to, I don't think all of a sudden you're just going to wake up one day and be like, oh, figure it out. Like, something's got to click to where they trust each other and let go of the ego and just figure it out and start to really gel. I just don't know what that's going to be or when that's going to happen.
I don't either. Like, if Brunson was playing like the anti-Brunson, which he's not that he's been amazing, but it's not like he's, taking 30 shots a night and ignoring Karl Anthony Towns. There was one of those games early where Cat didn't get looks, and that's been rectified. Like, if that was the case, I could say maybe from a basketball perspective, well, all right, Brunson gets the big man involved a little bit more, and that changes it. I don't know what that, that moment of inflection is going to be for the Knicks. And, I hope that it comes, and, I'm somewhat, I guess, confident that it will, but I'm not completely convinced that it will. I don't know. I mean, the two players, and again, the Hartenstein stuff was not the Knicks' fault. They could not bring him back for more than 17 mil based on the language in the CBA. I'm not faulting for them And I said that when it went down. It's like, man, it sucks. We're going to lose this guy. But I understand why. It's out of their hands, and somebody valued him as they should. OKC, even though he got hurt, with the money. All right, so you couldn't prevent him from leaving. But the two guys that they lost, look at it this way. Forget about talent. The two guys they lost, and forget about Randall as well, DiVincenzo and
Hartenstein.
The two players they brought in, Bridges and Towns, while they're very talented and multi-layered in terms of their talent, they're more on the passive side. So they lost, arguably, their two most energetic players who also were talented, and they brought in, two guys who are, you got to check the heartbeat sometimes to make sure that's still pumping blood.
Yeah, at least for now, or maybe they're getting their feel early on. But it's just seven games. Adam is
in. Sal, you think I'm overreacting?
I do. Well, you're not going nuts the other way, but I do think that, for me, I'd rather have this talented group than worry about Hartenstein and DiVincenzo from a year ago. I think they're going to be better off. Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What's up, guys? BT, my Brooklyn Marine Park brother.
What's up, buddy?
Take a deep breath, bro. Relax. That's right. He's right. Listen, this is going to take 20 games maybe. Maybe even a little more.
Yep.
You got to realize something. Not only are they figuring out their chemistry, right, and JB and Towns are kind of figuring out who's going to take the big shot when and this and that, but you got Bridges, who's literally going from a number one to a number three. He's figuring out his role. The bench is incomplete right now, so they can't even really figure out that role, but I'm happy the rookie's playing because he's going to be big Kolek down the road.
I like
him. So I'm not nowhere near like pushing a button. I think their passion and their better defense and better rotations is going to come as their chemistry gets better, as they know to trust each other, who's going to be where when he has to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, from watching Towns early on, I know you're saying he's finesse and some people call him soft. That man is not soft.
I didn't say he was soft.
I know you didn't, but yeah. Other people have said this. And I think that when it comes down to it, he needs to bang the boards in a big game against a big team. I think that considering, especially this is his home team, the team he grew up rooting for, you're going to see a side of Towns that people haven't seen quite as often because he's used to having to be the number one. He doesn't have to be that. That's why he got better last year, because he didn't have to be the number one anymore.
What I was disappointed – sorry, Adam, for cutting you off there, and thank you for the call. We appreciate the passion and info as always. What I was disappointed with last night, one possession in particular, the one down the stretch where Brunson fed Towns in the corner and he took a bad shot, because what I was trying to evaluate there is, okay – They have all these offensive options now, right? All these weapons down the stretch. That's where they should thrive. The Knicks should be thriving in that spot. And Towns took a bad shot. The other way, it led to a fast break and a dunk. And I think the Hawks at that point went up three. I forget the exact thing, but you felt like, uh-oh, it's slipping away. Those things clearly have to get cleaned up. But I'm with Adam in that, number one, and I'm not saying you said it, but that was the label of Karl-Anthony Towns, that he was soft. He is not soft. He can play physically. Now, is he the greatest physical player? Is he Shaq down? Well, no, but he's a big who is a finesse player, but also can be a physical force down low. But he took a bad shot in that corner, you know, chucking up a three. The Knicks got to be able to get a better look and clean it up and figure out how they want big possessions down the stretch to look, who they're going to, and what scenario. And I think that those things clearly have not been figured out just yet.
And you know what? I don't expect them to be. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the natural growth and the natural process. Again, if you're just tuning in, what worries me about this is, you know, what's under the jersey? Because what I loved about last year's team was their identity. And they had a Knick attitude. And I know sometimes, the Knicks got to play a certain way like they did in the 90s. I'm not talking about that. But there was so much passion emitted from that roster that it probably elevated them beyond where they really should be. Now, you want to tell me, all right, well, that's true, because I don't think anybody can really disagree with that assertion. But if you want to tell me maybe they'll be less forceful in terms of body language and maybe being a little less vocal, but at the end of the day, the infusion of talent with Towns will elevate them beyond where they were a year ago. I'm here for it. And I'm hoping that happens. But the Yankees are done. The Mets are done. The Giants are done. Early for the Rangers. If the Jets don't win this weekend, the Jets are done. So now I've had a chance, and I've watched all seven games, to watch these Knicks. And I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't know how to be, you know, I can't be more blunt than that. And it's not that they're 3-4, which is not good. You can't lose. You know, I'm not overreacting to that. Yeah, I don't want to see you lose to play-in games in early-ish middle November. It's different than that. It's just the feel. It doesn't feel the same because it's not the same.
Steve is calling from New Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Great. What's
hey,
up,
Steve?
You both are making great points. Talent, you got to have talent.
I think we're losing you there, Steve. Bad line. Give us a call back. Yeah. Jordan is in Miami, Florida. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I couldn't agree with what both of you guys are saying more, so I'm conflicted. I have 2 points, first of which being the floor spacing is great, right? But I think to an extent it's also a bit of an issue. I mean, we have no one near the hoop to crash the boards on offense. I like Towns at the five. He's doing great. But I think we might benefit from him at the four and having a guy just as big as him in there to crash the boards and help out down there, especially on the defensive rebounding side as well. Again, he's been great. He's been a dog. Couldn't be happier with him. But I think almost the floor spacing is too well. Brunson looked a little lost out there when he's slashing and then he's just dishing out. Second point, I'm conflicted about Mikal Bridges, man. We traded the farm for a guy who's getting what? 10 shots a game.
He's been a non-factor the majority of the season so far. And I would agree, if you're going to pick on something, Jordan, that would be what I would pick on. And I think he's going to be fine eventually. But to me, Bridges has been a non-factor, which has been a total disappointment.
Yeah, and I think so too, Sal. And, you know, I love his game, man. I love his game on the Suns, on the Nets. I'm a big fan of his game on both sides of the ball. But my also concern is I need a Tibbs to figure out how to get these guys to mesh. He's not exactly an offensive-minded coach. I need him to figure out how to get Bridges more involved, whether it's running more with the second unit. Bridges is a skill set guy, and we traded the farm for this guy.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Hold on. So when you say you want to get him more involved, how much more involved can he be? He's averaging 37 minutes a game, which is most of the NBA. He's over 16 points a game. I'm not saying he's a perfect player. He's averaging 13 shots a game. He's the third or fourth option. How much more involved do you want him?
Well, but maybe that's part of the problem, is that they're trying to figure out where Bridges could be a focal point on another team with Towns and Brunson. You got to figure out how you're going to get a guy who's been a focal point before enough touches to make him feel comfortable. What's his role? Maybe Bridges himself is trying to feel out what his role is. I think, though, our last caller, BT, brought up a good point that I want to get to when we come back. And it's one of the reasons why I'm not panicking about this team. the trust in Tibbs to figure it out, right? I mean, you have to have a coach that's going to be able to figure things out with this group. There's a lot going on here, a lot of ego, some star power with this team, new pieces, having to gel. Will Tibbs be the guy to figure that out? So off of what the caller was saying before, BT, with Tibbs, that's another reason why I'm not panicking yet. Obviously, 3-4 is not ideal. Obviously, you watch them play, it's frustrating, and they should be better with the talent that they have defensively, offensively, leaving possessions out there, which is infuriating. But ultimately, I believe in the talent, and maybe even more than just the talent, I believe Tibbs is going to figure it out. Like, that's the advantage of having a great coach. I think Tom Thibodeau is a great head coach. You don't think he's going to figure this out somehow, some way?
I think he's going to figure it out enough where it's stabilized, and certainly it's not going to be like this all year. No, of course. I've got a lot of faith in Tom to do that and to demand that eventually and to push and coerce every ounce of whatever this team's going to be able to push together, that he'll do that. I am less convinced that they have the right chemistry to move to where we want them to move. Again, this isn't year one. This isn't, oh, wow, it's COVID. What a cute little story. Wow, the Knicks are competitive. Oh, wow, the Knicks are somehow in the playoffs despite, you know, having five or six C-level players. This is the Knicks who are on the radar in Vegas and every intelligent basketball fan as on the, being on the short list for a championship run. So that's where I base my expectations. And they fluctuate from year to year. I wasn't sure going into last year that the Knicks would do what they ultimately did. And by the way, you know, if OG's hamstring doesn't rip and some other things don't happen, Mitch goes down, they're in the conference finals. But I go back to this and back to Tibbs, to your initial inquiry here, because it really is a great question and maybe might be the most fundamental point of this Knicks discussion. Even if Tom Thibodeau is able to do what we think he will probably do, do they have enough talent to beat the Celtics? Because if the answer is no, and my answer right now is no, then that's where chemistry becomes more important.
Right, but at least you saw last year, like, do you think that last year they had enough chemistry to beat the Celtics?
I don't, but I think if they had this year with, remember the Bridges, and I know you know this, but the Bridges trade was done, you know, before the Karl Anthony Towns trade. So I don't know if you rolled it, and I'm not trying to go and say that Randall should be here. They needed to trade him. I stand by that. But if you had Bridges now to the mix and DiVincenzo, I don't know. I mean, it's appealing. Now, we can't do this forever, Sal, because DiVincenzo's gone.
But we got to let it go, buddy. I know you love him. I know that's your guy.
You know, my boy, I don't want to leave. But
it's not just you. I know a lot of Knicks fans going to be stuck up on DiVincenzo, hung up on DiVincenzo and Hartenstein still. Hey, we got to move on. They have much more talent here. Last year was last year. They lost in Game 7, even with all that chemistry and heart. They lost in Game 7 at home to a team that they should have beaten, even with those injuries. So let's all try to move on from DiVincenzo and Hartenstein here.
All right, let me ask you this, and I know we're going to have to, and I guess maybe after today I will, but I do think it's still fairly pertinent because this is really the first truly deep dive Nick conversation. We had it going into the season after the Karl Anthony Towns trade, and we've hit the Knicks every time they play for a couple of minutes here, but we were doing such a crazy baseball juggle in early football. Now the Knicks get our attention. If I say to you, Sal, all right, and not overreacting to 3-4, but big picture, Tom Thibodeau and all everything they have and him doing what we think he might do, are the Knicks the 2 seed when it's all said in the East? Because I don't know if I believe that they will be. Like, I can't, even though I know they'll be better than this, I'm not sure that they're going to get to the 2 seed,
right,
which everybody expected them to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I really didn't give it much thought on that. I'm not worried about the seeding as much as, is this team talented enough to be a legitimate NBA title contender? And I do believe that all the pieces are in place. Now, they have to make those pieces work. You have to have it gel. You have to have these guys have that chemistry. They have to play together as a team. And then maybe they need to get a little lucky as well, because, I mean, Boston just looks like another level from everybody else. And I know the Cavs are undefeated, but, I mean, you tell me the Knicks couldn't beat the Cavs in a best of seven, I would be surprised if that's the case. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, whether they're the 2 seed or not, like, do you think, look at the standings right now in the East, like, you really think that anybody outside of Boston, even with seeing the Knicks the way that they are for 7 games, can the Knicks, who are they losing to in a best of 7?
Well, they could lose maybe to the Cavs. Yeah. I would push back on that a little bit. Not going nuts on it.
I mean, it could, sure, but The Cavs aren't going to go undefeated the rest of the way. And by the way, the Knicks coughed up that game against the Cavs. Like, they should have beaten them. No, they didn't, so it is what it is. But like, I guess my point is, based on the talent, I don't look at any team in the East outside of Boston as a team that is better than the Knicks.
I mean, that's, again, I can accept that. You might be selling the Pacers a little short. I mean, they're pretty good.
I mean, they're 4-4 this year, too, so... You know, are they going nuts? I don't know. We're not doing sports talk in Indiana, and think about it. Now, Philadelphia might be going nuts because they're 1-6. That's a big. Milwaukee might be going nuts. 1-6 is a pretty nice hole.
Yeah.
Early on, like, you played 7 games, you've lost 6 of them. That's not good for two teams who were supposed to be two of the top teams in the East. And by the way, even if those teams were playing better, let's say they were 3-4 or whatever it may be, I still would look at them and say the Knicks are better. I think the Knicks are better than those teams.
What about the fact that Brunson has been good, but not the superstar that he was a year ago yet?
Right. So do you think that that's going to be the case moving forward? Like, is Brunson?
I do. I think that it's going to be more that case than not, because, you know, he's going to let Carl eat, and Carl's got to eat because Carl's a star himself. But, I mean, wasn't that the whole thing between Brunson at that point, you know, us identifying him as a top 10 NBA player? He hasn't looked like a top 10 NBA player so far. Not, you know, not bad, but not the guy that was just destroying people a year ago. Will he have the freedom to do that with the notion of having to feed Karl Anthony Towns, you know, 15, 18, 20 shots a night? I don't know. I would say no. I would say that Brunson's going to take a little bit of a step back, which, by the way, Sal, could be offset and very well might be offset with a step forward offensively from Carl that you will never get from obviously Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein.
Right.
I'm just saying, listen, I'm not blaring the sirens, but I'm not ignoring a couple of early warning signs that I don't like.
BT, it's Sal on the Fan. You mentioned Mitchell Robinson. We were talking about that. Hoff, what is the, just give me the latest update here with Mitchell Robinson. What are we expecting? January? Where is he? When's he coming back?
January. He's missing the remainder of the calendar year with the ankle injury, and they didn't give an actual date yet.
Okay, so no sooner than January.
Correct.
All right. I mean, look, they're going to need to get him back. I do think, BT, they're going to look a lot different with Achiuwa coming back and then with Mitchell Robinson eventually. And if you could, now, there's no guarantee he's going to stay healthy, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, but maybe Mitch could pull a little John Carlo and come back at the right time and be healthy in the postseason for the Knicks, or just about.
Oh, si palo.
Alex is calling from East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I got a couple of quick points, if I can. Don't sell the Cavaliers short, and the reason why is because they have a great coaching staff, finally, to match the players that have pretty damn good talent.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved Kenny Atkinson forever, and they stole Johnny Davis, who was the consigliere to Tibbs, off the Knicks. And there's got to be a reason why he wanted to go over there, maybe money, but Johnny Davis had a lot to do with the success of the Knicks. Your previous caller was spot on. And by the way, BT, I agree with you. I don't feel this formation. But the previous caller said Tibbs is not an offensive coach. He's never been an offensive coach. You just brought in more offensive players. You lost these heart and soul grit guys. Tibbs is not the kind of coach he's never been to mix and match offensive flow. Johnny Davis had a lot to do with that. He had a lot to do with everything that went right with the Knicks. If you watched him whispering in Tibbs' ear game after game after game, reminding him to do things, you know, I don't feel this. I think Johnny Davis was a big loss.
Jesus, Johnny, with the Johnny Davis, and thanks for the call, Alex. I can't take it anymore.
Johnny Davis.
So what Alex is saying, and he should have just said this as opposed to Johnny Davis in Cleveland, who cares about that? We're in New York. You don't believe in Tibbs. Alex does not believe in Tibbs, and that's a different, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm fine with that. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think Tibbs is just a good basketball coach. He'll figure it out. Everybody says, oh, he can't be offensive. I'm not buying that. He may be a defensive guy first, which I like. I'd rather have that in today's NBA with the offensive talent that they have, and I do think ultimately they're going to figure out. Now, he's got to, BT, but I think that Tibbs will.
And there's pressure on him. I mean, let's face it, there, when you're on the precipice of getting to a championship and maybe winning it, you know, again, it evolves from the cute story and a really fun story of overachievement to microanalysis. And Tom Thibodeau is not immune to that. And Jalen Brunson will not be immune to that. We love him because he left money on the table, and he's an amazing player, and he's all Knicks, and he's the captain. But, hey, you want to swim with the big boys, you know, you might get a hook once in a while. Like, we're going to be looking, and we're going to be, you know, prodding and pushing and poking, and it's going to be a different level of evaluation. And right now, for me, the evaluation is not what I expected. But again, it's early. But the signs are a little disconcerting because, to me, the DNA of the team has changed. And I thought that it would, but it's been a little bit more pronounced than I hoped, and that worries me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.